The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
You all can join in with them. Well, hello, 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 hello to all who are there. Good morning and good day to everyone, and welcome to the First Baptist Church West College Hill online sermon. My name is Charles L. King, Jr., and I am blessed to be the pastor of this great house and the under-shepherd of this wonderful flock. My beautiful wife, Angela P. King, and together we have two beautiful children, Adriana and Trey King, short for Charles L. King III. I'm joined here with members from our band who you were just listening to and enjoying, I hope. I'm also joined by a few members of our media and audio team and our office staff as well. Please don't be alarmed. We know you cannot have more than 10 people. So not only do we not have more than 10, we have less than 10. Amen. Because we understand that there's been an order, and so we're not here to break any orders or to break any rules, although we understand we know who super rules. Come on, somebody. But the fact of the matter is we want to be responsible Christian citizens. If for nothing else, we're treating this no different than when we go to the doctor and maybe we are prescribed some medication to take as a result of preventing or to healing our illness or maybe making some dietary changes with regards to our health and our wellness and our well-being. And also, if nothing else, we also want to be considerate of our family members, our grandparents, our loved ones, and those who are most vulnerable, even ourselves individually. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed to be corona-free. Now, for some of y'all, y'all probably saying, well, I hope you're saying, listen, I'm coronavirus-free, but I don't know about my libation. Come on, somebody. I am corona-free, virus and libation. Amen. 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 Listen, we recognize that you all have more than one, a few options with regards to church services and all of those types of things. And even now, more than ever, the number of churches that are now live streaming and online services and those types of things. And so we thank you. We thank you for the blessed opportunity that you've allowed us to speak a word of encouragement to you from the word of God and deliver a message, some help and some hope and some healing in these days and times that we are in. We don't take it lightly because we understand that you've invited us into your homes, your abodes. So thank you. Thank you for allowing us into your living rooms, your dining rooms, your kitchens, your basements, or wherever you might be at this time listening to this audio or watching this video. I'm just glad that we have the opportunity and the ability to connect with one another even while we are separate, but still together. My brothers and my sisters, I don't have to tell you that the whole world has been affected by the coronavirus, COVID-19, and the infection is spreading across the world. As of yesterday, when I was reading and watching the news, said that in the U.S., there were more than 113,805 cases across all 50 states, plus Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Washington, D.C., according to a Johns Hopkins University tally. The number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. has surpassed that of any other country. At least 2,010 people have died, unfortunately, in the U.S., according to the Johns Hopkins University tally. Globally, the number of cases has surpassed 621,000. With more than 28,600 deaths. Of course, that number of change is changing, not just daily, but almost hourly. And unfortunately, the numbers are getting larger, and we have yet to plateau. The president, as you know, has signed a historic $2 trillion aid package, hoping to curb the COVID-19's economic impact. And you best believe that everyone all over the world is being impacted. The virus has caused major disruptions to our daily lives. Borders have been closed. Schools have been closed down. Large gatherings prohibited. Sports events canceled, to include the 2020 Olympics, in an effort to try and prevent and spread the virus. Think about that. Never before had the Olympic Games been postponed or canceled for something other than war. But rarely has the world come to a grinding halt the way it has over the coronavirus. For a vast majority, the income they had hoped to receive from certain jobs, businesses, and programs have been cut off. In other words, all the seven pillars of society, religion, family, government, business, education, media, arts, and entertainment, have been affected by the coronavirus. The CDC has recommended that we cancel any gatherings larger than 10 people, including church services. So instead of our meeting in our church building today as we normally would, we're meeting with you, meeting together online. To be honest, we praise God. We praise God for the ability to be able to do just what we're doing in these days and times. So the question is, what should we be doing at this present time? Well, the CDC and the World Health Organization has recommended that certainly we increase the washing of our hands, continuous sanitization of our hands and surfaces. I've already talked about the social distancing. If you feel sick or ill in any cold or flu symptoms, they're asking you to self-quarantine for up to maybe 14 days or to just self-isolate yourself. And then if by chance you feel like you might be affected by the COVID-19 virus, then you are encouraged to call your primary care physician, speak with them about your symptoms, and then you will be directed further. But those are things that we should do in order to help prevent the spread of the virus. But what are some other things that we should be doing, or better yet, what is it that we need to know in these days and times that we are in? Because every time, every season comes with its own opportunities. For the present times that we are in, if we don't understand it, we can easily miss out on what God is calling us out to remember, to pay attention to do, to stop, to change, let go of, hold on to, and maybe improve in our personal lives, our families, and the body of Christ, and our nation, and the nations around the world. Without understanding of the times, opportunities are wasted, and if we are listening, we will hear what the Lord is speaking to us clearly. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. My brothers and my sisters, we must turn to the Lord. We must turn to the Word of God to give us some understanding on what we need to do. So if you will, please turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 5. The book of 1 John chapter 5, I'll begin reading the 13th verse. I'm actually going to read verses 13 through 15, and then I'm going to jump down and read verses 18 through 20. I'm actually going to be reading from the Amplified translation, so it will read just slightly different than yours, but whatever your translation, please know that I'm in the Word of God. Again, turning your Bibles or whatever you may have, your app. From the Amplified version of the Bible, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. Verse 15 says, and if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the requests which we have asked from him. Verse 18 says, We know with confidence that anyone born of God does not habitually sin, but he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know for a fact that we are of God, and the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. And we have seen and know by personal experience that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight that we may progressively and personally know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider this subject. This is written that you may know. Do me a favor, if you will, and repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, my brothers and my sisters, I have mentioned that we are living in some very uncertain times. Fears are rising all over the world. People who have never felt anxious before are suddenly weighed down with worry and are not sure what they should do next. But in these uncertain times, the Bible assures us that there are some truths that we can know for certain. The early church has been no stranger to plagues, epidemics, and mass hysteria. They experienced their fair share of uncertainty and even panic. So here in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John directs believers' attention to five things that we can be certain about even in these uncertain times. Five truths, if you will, that cannot be denied and will not ever change. Given the current climate of fear and uncertainty, I thought today that would be a good day for us to focus on these things that we can absolutely be sure of. Feel free, if you will, to follow along with me in the book of 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 13. First thing I want you to note here is that John tells us that we can be certain about our promise. John begins by saying in verse 13, he says, "These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life." Listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, there's just some things we need to know, and we can know that we have eternal life. God has gone on record in his word as offering eternal life to any and everyone who believes in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is God's promise, and you best believe we can count on God's promises. Listen to just a few verses in the Bible that assures us of eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." John chapter 5, verse 24, "Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." My brothers and my sisters, life is full of letdowns and empty promises. But eternal life with Jesus, that won't ever be one of them. So somebody's asking, how do we know that Jesus knows what he's talking about? Well, because he's been there before. Come on, somebody. Jesus has been to the grave. He was numbered among the dead, heart silent, lungs vacant, body wrapped, grave sealed. But then the miraculous happened. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 4, the Message translation says, "Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven." Times of confusion, times of fear, and times of uncertainty. First truth of which we can be certain of is God's promise of eternal life. The next thing that John tells us here in the text is we can also be certain about our prayers. Watch the text in verse 14 and 15. It says, This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from him. My brothers and my sisters, we can be sure that God hears and answers our prayers. And now more than ever before, Christians ought to be responding not in panic, but in prayer. And we have so much that we need to be in prayer about. We have so much that we need to be in prayer for. We need to be praying for all of our frontline medical staff and our medical leaders. Amen. We need to be praying for decision makers. We need to be praying not only for our government, but governments all around the world. We need to be praying for people who are already afflicted by this virus. And we certainly need to be praying for those families who have loved ones who have already succumbed to the virus. We need to be praying for those who are especially vulnerable, the elderly, and those who are already sick or who have immune deficiencies. In uncertain times, and certainly these are some uncertain times, but it is essential that Christians choose prayer over panic. And when we pray, you need to know that we can be certain that God is listening, and we know that God hears our prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but in my own personal experience, I'm just talking about me right now. Come on, somebody. I don't always get what I pray for. Amen. Now, as far as I can tell, so there's some folk who told me that there's usually three answers to prayer. God either says yes, no, or maybe, or not right now. Well, I've actually experienced four different answers that God has given me concerning my prayer. What do you mean, Pastor King? Well, I'm saying if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If I'm wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and I'm in my right spirit, God says go. All right? So how do we make sure that everything is right? John answers for us in verse 14. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, that is, consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. My brothers and my sisters, prayers are not about getting everything we want done or whatever our will is that we want heaven to do. It's about getting God's will done on earth. And to pray effectively, then we need to determine what God's will is. The third reality from this passage here in 1 John that we can be certain about is our protector. Remember, verse 18, John goes on to say, he says, we know with confidence that anyone born of God does not habitually sin, but he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now watch the text, because I got to make sure I teach this thing, because you need to understand that John isn't saying that Christians don't sin. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, in the first chapter, he says that anyone who claims they don't sin says the truth isn't in them. Everybody falls short. You fall short. I fall short. We all fall short, just like everybody else. And you don't have to be a Christian for very long to figure that out. But rather, what John is saying here is that as a Christian, we have a protector keeping us safe. Again, John is not suggesting that Jesus always protects us from physical harm, illness, financial ruin, relational problems, or even the coronavirus pandemic. Rather, Jesus protects us from spiritual harm, from the evil one. The truth is, we all sometimes fall victim for the devil's schemes. We do sin. But John is assuring us that Jesus is greater, bigger, and stronger than Satan. And guess what? He's got our backs. When we put our faith in Christ, we need to know that he washed away all of our sins, past, present, and future. We are safe from whatever Satan throws at us, no matter what temptations or trials or tests come our way. We can know for sure that Jesus has our back. Not only does he have our back, but Jesus is actually looking out for us, and he will protect us from Satan's spiritual assaults. Christ has set us free from sin and the devil. So even though he will mess up, he will mess with us fairly often, the ultimate victory is ours in Christ Jesus. So again, we can be certain about our promise. We can be certain about our prayers. We can be certain about our protector. The fourth thing that John tells us here is that we can be certain about our place. Good God Almighty, watch the text. Verse 19 says, we know for a fact that we are of God. I say it again. It says, we know for a fact that we are of God. In other words, you hold, I hold, those of us who have been washed by the blood, we hold a precious position and have a priceless place in God's eternal family. The entire Bible, hear me when I say this, the entire Bible is the story of God building a family who will love him, honor him, and reign with him forever. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, the New Century Version, it says, because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted and what pleased him. Listen, when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, God then becomes our Father, and we become his children. Other believers then become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. Christians aren't just called to believe, we're called to belong. Come on, somebody. Being a part of God's family is all about togetherness. It's about laughing together, crying together, dreaming together. In fact, the Bible says that Christians are put together, joined together, built together. We are members together and heirs together. And there's a whole lot of togetherness in God's family, even in the midst of our social distancing. I think especially at times like this, when we're supposed to isolate ourselves, avoid social gathering, it's easy to feel lonely. I'm talking to somebody. It's easy to feel cut off from others. But when you belong to the family of God, guess what? You are never, ever alone. We know that we are children of God. That's something you can be sure of. And then finally, John gives us the last truth of which we can be certain of, and that is the promise of our Prince of Peace. John closes his letter with these words in verse 20. He says, and we have seen and know by personal experience that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight so that we may progressively and personally know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Watch this. I'm going to teach this just for a moment. The word translated true or real means the original as opposed to a copy or an imitation. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the true light. He's the true bread. He's the true vine. He's the truth itself. Jesus is the original. Everything and everybody else is a copy. He's authentic, and everything else is only an imitation. In short, this is the true God and eternal life, and that's all that really matters. Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. And When you know Jesus, you know that he loves you and you love him, you can experience that peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of a global pandemic. Listen, as I get ready to close, we are living in some uncertain times. But in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible gives us some truths that have stood the test of time. We can know for certain, and we can be certain about our promise, our prayers, our protector, our place, and our prince. So when you feel overwhelmed, or when you're worried or anxious, remember these five certainties. Take refuge in them. Why? Because this is written that you may know. You need to know. I'm talking to you. You need to know that you can have eternal life. You need to know that your prayers are heard by God. You need to know that you've actually already been vaccinated, but you've been vaccinated against sin and Satan. You need to know that you are a child of God, and you need to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of our souls. Now, of course, that's for those of us who have already confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved. So at this time, I want to extend an invitation. I want to extend an invitation for those of you who don't know Jesus. You know statistics and you know some worry and you know some concern, but you don't know Jesus. You know about him, but you don't know him as your personal Savior. And I would love to introduce you to him. He stands ready to receive you, to forgive you of your sins, and to welcome you into his family with the gift of eternal life. If you are ready to come to Jesus, you need to say, Lord, I yield, I yield. If you're not sure and you're asking yourself and you need to confess with your mouth, the Bible says you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's what the scriptures say. But if you're curious and you're saying, what must I do to be saved? Listen, we're not here to pad the pews. So if you're curious, I want to encourage you to reach out to maybe a local church in your neighborhood or community, any church that opens its doors in the name of Christ Jesus. Of course, we would love to connect with you. You are welcome to connect with me and with us. And if that is so, reach out to us. You're welcome to give us a call, because the doors of the church always remain open, regardless of the fact that we are not allowed to gather. That has nothing to do with the church doors being closed. Those won't be closed until Jesus returns. So if you want to connect with me or with us, give us a call. 513-681-1011. Jesus loves you, and so do we. But just as important to all of you who are listening to this now, or at some point will hear this broadcast later on, just as important, especially to the members who are viewing this, we must continue in our commitment to giving and sowing seeds to our church's ministry. To the First Baptist Church, West College Hill family, that means paying our tithes. To our friends and our loved ones' friends, that would be prayerfully consideration of giving an offering. Please know that your support, all of your support, helps us, helps you, helps others. If you would consider giving, please, ma'am, and please, sir, take the time to write out your check or maybe your money order. And please mail your checks to the First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Our address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. You may also stop by our church at any time and place your envelope inside of a slot of a locked, safe, and secure box on the backside of our church. It's the same box where our mail is delivered, and I let you know that it is secure. If you have any questions, you may either call the office again, 513-681-1011, or you may email us. You may email us at info@firstbaptistchurch.com. Spell those words all the way out, firstbaptistchurchwch.org. That's info@firstbaptistchurch, spell those words all the way out, wch.org. Or you may visit our website at www.firstbaptistchurchwch. Spell those words all the way out, firstbaptistchurchwch.org. When you get out there, you'll recognize, you peruse, take some time to find out some more about us. You may also click across our media tab and listen to some of our past podcasts. You may also see some inspirational writings as God speaks to my heart and allows me to put pen to paper some of our pastor's pens. Now at this time, right where you are, whether it be in your living room, your dining room, your kitchen, even in your car, I want us to now gather together in prayer and know that even while we may not necessarily talk about holding hands, we can connect heart to heart and breast to breast. Let us pray. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Father God, we come right now to say thank you. We say thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Father God, we need you to speak right now into somebody's heart and spirit who is fearful. We need you to speak right now into somebody's heart who is feeling lonely or alone. We need you to speak right now into somebody's heart, Lord, dear God, who is angry and has distraught in their spirit. Remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Heavenly Father, we are not here to disregard the coronavirus. We know that this is a warfare and there's some enemies that are unseen. But Father God, we know that just like you spoke to the wind, and we can't see the wind, but you spoke to the wind and said, "Peace, be still." Father God, speak right now to somebody and tell them and tell whatever is attacking them right now in the spirit. Say, "Peace, be still." Help somebody know that you are God and you are God all by yourself. We love you today. We extol you and we magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Lord, even in this service, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said and done has been pleasing unto your sight. We pray to God it has been as a sweet savor unto your nostril. Even now, we rejoice with the angels in heaven for that one soul who has said, "I yield, I yield. I want my life to be saved. I give my life to Christ. Lord, you can do more with my life than I could ever do with it. Thank you for dying upon the cross for our sins. Pierced in your side, the blood came streaming down. They buried you in a borrowed tomb. But all on that third day morning, you got up with all power in your hand. And Lord, we say thank you. And because you got up, we too have the ability to get up. We can get up from the coronavirus because we know that you can raise the dead. And if you can deal with a dead Jesus, surely you can deal with COVID-19. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. This is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake, forevermore, we must ask for forgiveness for our sins. We can never end our prayer without asking for forgiveness for our sins. For Lord, our sins are many, and all of our sins are against thee. But we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. And together we say, amen. Listen, continue to be safe, continue to stay healthy, and thank you once again for your prayers and for your support. To God be the glory, and to God be the praise. Let's praise on out of here. Come on, fellas. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.